our Lord's rebuke of Peter, which is very powerful, calls him Satan, because he's trying to pull him away from the will of the Father. And that's not going to happen. And he says, see, you are not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. Now, that's exactly the whole point of this passage that we have in the letter of James today. This is James 2, 1-9. My brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. What eliminates partiality? Faith. And then he's going to move even further in a moment. For a man with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and a poor person with shabby clothes comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please. Here's a big shot. And to the other one, you can sit over there or stand, you know, it's all right. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Now that goes to the heart of it, doesn't it? Evil design. This rich guy, he might make a donation. And besides, you don't know who his friends are. You don't want to insult him. He might know the mayor. You know. And that's all, you see, evil designs. I was thinking of the people in my life I've known who, you see, the key comes in the next line, in the next paragraph. It's love. If you love people, it doesn't make any difference who they are. And they know it. If you're just one of these people willing to be one of these great democratic, come here, Joe, sit down, kind of guy, you won't last because he probably stinks. And after a while, you'll move away or you'll tell him to get up or you'll, you know, it's only love. And I was thinking of example after example. I remember once up at Madonna House, we were sitting at a big table, maybe six of us. There were these Belgian guests, very sophisticated people. We were all speaking French and having a really interesting conversation. And this lady came up out of nowhere, a great big hat, and she was crazy. And she sat down and said, hello, folks, how you doing? You know, in English, you know. And Catherine didn't miss a beat. She turned and said, hello, dear. We were just discussing. I just included her in the conversation. Never missed a beat. That's love. Instead of like cringing and saying, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with this one, you know? Or maybe, you know, all these people will be embarrassed or whatever. No. The attention was on this woman who was a little crazy, but it was all there. And I thought, man, that's a class act. You know, that's love. That's exactly what James is talking about. Don't make these kind of distinctions, you know? I could think of some. Another one, my buddy Johnny in the monastery. Johnny was he was the prior, but he was a little guy. And he went out to the psychiatric ward to visit somebody. And he got all dressed up and he had his little Homburg on and off he goes. And he's walking through the violent ward to get to where he has to go. And a fellow hollers, they're all strapped down to their beds, you know. And a fellow hollers out, nice hat you got there, Father. Johnny just veered right over, walked right over to that guy, sat down on his bed, and said, this is the only thing between me and oblivion. And they both laughed. They laughed, both of them. And they met like human beings. Sure, the guy's crazy and strapped down, but he's human. And Johnny was so human that he went right through and touched him. I can, you know, I remember my first day in Napoli. It was the feast of San Francesco. I remember that. Yes, this was 1958, I guess. And of course, you see, over there, once they spot an American, they know if they embarrass you enough, you're going to give them something to get rid of them. Americans are not too cool, you know. So this guy was following me down the street, wanted to shine my shoes. We'd like to shine my shoes and do this, you know. Finally, I turned around. I said, basta. And he was so hurt. And I realized what I had done. I wanted to get rid of this guy, you know. And he said, look, you know, I know I'm trying to shake you down. I know I'm a jerk. I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And you ought to be bright enough to know what I'm doing and to treat me like a human being. And he was right and I was wrong. It's the only time it ever happened. And I used to get along great with those people after that because I learned to love them. They didn't get much money out of me because they didn't have much. But talk to them, you know, and love them. Talk about Jesus to them, you know. Now, they're poor, and so, yeah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. Anything to get a few bucks, you know. And well, if you were that poor, you'd do that too. But after a while, we would meet. I'm trying to give you examples of, you know, this, another one, Dorothy Day and Catherine Daugherty were in New York. Catherine was there getting ready to found Friendship House, which was one of the first big black-white apostolates in the country. It was back in the 40s. And, well, there was only one big bed in this apartment, so they both were sleeping in this bed, and there was a knock at the door. And it was a young woman there, and she obviously had syphilis. I mean, she was just broken out in her face, and, you know, she needed a place to stay. So Dorothy said, all right, Catherine, you can go take that mattress and go sleep in the bathtub, and this girl and I will sleep in the bed. And Catherine called her over and said, Dorothy, I'm a nurse. That girl has got syphilis. And Dorothy said, Catherine, that girl is Christ. You see what he's talking about? And how the poor and the shabby and the bothersome frighten us. Well, we're middle class folks. We're not used to being bothered, you know. But it's deeper than that. And that's why he says, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you dishonored the poor. And on top of all that, are not the rich oppressing you? What are you so nice to them for? I mean, they're ripping you off. And do they themselves haul you off to court? However, if you fulfill the royal law, see what he calls it? The royal law. According to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you fulfill this royal law, then you are doing well. I think we should pray a lot about that. Because as the royal law enters our being, we'll be very creative about how to approach people. You know, I forgot what today is, but you know that Ted and Maureen go down every Tuesday, I think, to work with the age patients in Mother Teresa's place every Tuesday. They spend the night there caring for them. And it's a privilege. I guess it's enough examples. You get the idea, you know? And the key is love. The key is love. You can't crank it up. You can't be, because they know it. They know it. I remember, this is another example of another kind. Back down in New York, in Harlem. And it was, you know, right after Vatican II, and all the middle-class folk were going to charge down there and do social action. And of course, then they see the oppression and the cheating and the way the poor are treated, and they go crazy. Because nobody's ever treated them like that. And I can remember this black kid saying, listen, get them people out of here, will you? They're scaring the death out of us. You know what I mean? Look at them, you know, they're so crazy mad, you know. The people who suffered it weren't that way. It was the people who got down there and saw it. Do you understand? You see, it's love or it's nothing. There was a fellow by the name of, it'll come when I don't need it. He was a great organizer. He got Kodak to hire blacks, and when they said, well, they're not trained, he said, train them. It was, but it was all power and it was all hatred. Saul Alinsky. Rochester hasn't recovered yet. You can get things done if you organize hatred, but what you leave behind is wreckage. Nothing worthwhile. We're going to fix this up. We're going to get good wages for these people. They're going to get their jobs, blah, blah, blah. And at the end, you've made a mess of what was a tough situation, but it was human before that. I remember this young Jesuit had gone through Saul Alinsky's school. Well, never mind. That's probably too rough anyway. I said, how would you think of it? And he told me what he thought of it. It wasn't very good. My point is, you see, that the royal law is the only way to care for others. It's the only way. And you watch the pros at work, and you see this. Dorothy, Catherine, people like that. You watch them, and you see it's love, love, love.